This is Tony and Susan Alamo, coming to you from the Grand Ole Opry House in Nashville, Tennessee.
Thank you, thank you. And welcome to the next half hour with Tony and Susan Alamo. We're so glad to have you with us for this next half hour. The Lord bless you, and we just pray to the Lord that we will be a blessing to you as you receive us into your homes, your offices, or wherever you are. So stay right here for the next half hour, right with us. And now, Tony Alamo to sing, Jesus is the Only Way. You know, I love to hear Tony sing. I'm Tony's great fan. And every song that he sings, the gospel songs, I love them all because there's such message in song to this world today. And listen to the words of this very carefully, because truly, Jesus really is the only way.
Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the only way. And I'm sure sold on him. Oh, they say that he's a square, that Jesus, he ain't nowhere. I know better. He lives in my heart. Jesus is the only way. Yes, you can find him in the Bible pages. Jesus, he's the rock of ages. He hides me in the cleft of the rock. Jesus is the only way. Jesus, Jesus is the only way. My sword and my shield, Jesus is the only way. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the king said, in the fire they must go. They found out that the fire wouldn't burn. They were saved by the only man. Jesus, Jesus is the only.
Is the truth. Jesus is the only way to eternal life. So many times you hear people say that they can live their own lives as they choose, and they can do whatever they choose to do with that life. But this isn't true, because no man lives unto himself, and no one dies unto themselves. Whatever we do on this side of eternity, either be it good or bad, then one of these days at the judgment bar of God, when this life is finished, then surely we shall stand before a living God, and we shall give account unto him for what we have done with these fleeting years, these fleeting days and hours and moments on this side of eternity. And when we realize that God has made such a perfect way of escape for us from our sins, that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but shall have eternal life through him. Those are the most glorious words in this world. When you think about the despair, think about so many people searching for peace all over the world, not only in our nation, but all over the world. And you see the great and mighty outpouring of the Spirit today, and thousands of people coming to that place at the foot of the cross, that they're opening the door of their heart and they're saying, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Make me a new creature, because I realize that there is something desperately wrong in my life. And how often you hear testimony after testimony that I had all the materialistic things that I desired, but yet there was an emptiness, there was a void. And I knew that there was no peace for me until I heard the glorious words of that gospel, that Jesus was the only way. And I realized that God had made a way of escape for me through His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And when I came to this knowledge of the reality of a living God, and that truly I could really reach Him, that He could hear me, and that He knew all about the troubles and the burdens that I had, and that He had made a way of escape for me. If this is a crutch, it's the greatest crutch in this world. And do you believe that it could be possible? That you hear testimonies from people from such diversified lives, people wealthy, people walking the streets without any hope, drug addiction, alcoholism, lives that are just ripped and torn to shreds. And then suddenly, thousands and thousands and thousands of people telling the same story of how their lives were so supernaturally changed when they came to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And as the scriptures say, how could we expect to escape if we neglect so great a salvation? And now I would like you to join me and all the other people here to hear my husband, and I keep saying that, my husband, Tony Alamo, and that I am his greatest fan, and that really is the truth. I love the gospel songs because there is such a message to the glory of God, and I especially like these old standards. This next song I learned when I was a very, very little girl at an old-fashioned revival meeting in the South. And you know, it still has the same power, and it still thrills my soul the same today as it did the first time I ever heard the words to this song. I love to hear all the vocalists sing gospel songs, but I especially like to hear my husband, Tony Alamo, sing gospel songs, because I love Tony Alamo. The Lord gave him to me, and I'm thankful to the Lord for every wonderful blessing that He has given me. And now join with us and Tony in the city where the Lamb is the light.
There's a country far beyond the starry sky. There's a city where there never comes a night. If we're faithful, we shall go there by and by, to the city where the Lamb is alive.
Well, in the city where the Lamb is alive.
Oh, in the city where there cometh no night.
Well, I got a mansion over there that's free from toil or care. I am going where the Lamb is alive. There the flowers bloom forever and a day. Shall be one eternal day without a night. And our tears shall be forever wiped away. And in that city where the Lamb is alive.
Well, in the city where the Lamb is alive.
Yeah, in the city where there cometh no night. Well, I got a mansion over there that's free from toil or care. I'm going where the Lamb is alive. Here we have our days of sunshine, but we know that the sun which shines upon us now so bright will be changed to clouds of rain until we go to that city where the Lamb is alive.
Well, in the city where the Lamb is alive.
Yes, in that city where there cometh
there that's free from thought or care. I am going where the Lamb is alive. Well, in the city where the Lamb is alive. Yeah, in the city where they come.
Beautiful, beautiful. In the city where the Lamb is the light. Are you going to a city where the Lamb is the light?
Amen.
How do you know it's really there?
Well, because my Savior lives, and he lives inside my soul, and there's a witness right within me that he lives and that city's right there.
I believe that, Tony. I believe that there really is a city where the Lamb is the light. I believe there's a place of perfect peace and perfection, the place that God intended this old world to be in the first place. I believe there's a place that God has prepared for them who love him. A place beyond anything that our human mind or our imagination could even believe to be possible. I believe these things because, as Tony said, there's a witness in my heart that tells me that I am connected to a living God and that his word is a living truth. I love the Lord Jesus Christ with all my heart. And I think sometimes today that the ones of us who have known the Bible so many years and the realities of it, to see so many of the things that are happening in the Christian realm, and to see the polluted down gospel that is being passed around when there is such truth, such power, such reality, such glory in the truth of the Word of God and all the things that God has promised unto us. You know, God treats us as we are children because he calls us his children. When he refers to us, he speaks to us in that manner that we are his children. And any person today that is standing before people and proclaiming a gospel of just love and a wishy-washy mess, this isn't the gospel and it isn't the truth. Because to attempt to teach or to preach such unfounded truths is contrary to everything that the Word of God says. To preach that there is nothing but love without judgment, that there is nothing but love without condemnation, it's a complete untruth. There is no such Bible. And the thing that I can't understand, if people are so prone, if this is what they're looking for, then why call it Christianity? Because it isn't true. We know that if we keep the laws of God, that we shall inherit eternal life through him, because this is the promise of God unto us. But I think how intelligent people think they are today. And you hear the different remarks made that the great strides in the field of medical science and all the ventures that man has gone into. And yet, how childish and how childlike to the things, the depths and the truths of the Word of God. Because it hasn't changed any since the Garden of Eden. And man is still tripping on the same old story that brought about all the confusion that we have had to live through. Because it's the same story that Lucifer brought to the Garden of Eden. When he told the two people in a garden of perfection that God had created for them, the Lord God said, look at this place. Look at this place that I have prepared for you. Here's all the perfection in the world, and I, God, love you. I created you. I made you. I molded you out of the very clay of the earth. And I blew my own breath into your body. And I made you a living soul. Now I have put you in this garden of perfection. And the things that I ask in return of you is that you keep my laws, that you keep my commandments. And here are these two people that are there, absolutely no problems in this world. And then here comes Satan, with the same story as he's selling to so many thousands and thousands of people the world over today. And when he mentioned to Eve that the thing for her to do was to partake, to take that which God had said not to do, and she answered him, no, Because God has said that in the day that we do, we shall surely die. And Satan's answer to her was, thou shalt not surely die. Don't you realize? He was saying what God wants to do is keep you under His power and keep you under His control. And really, this doesn't have to be at all. You can do whatever you want to do, and God will still bless you. God will still find a place of forgiveness, a place of forgiveness yet. Yes, but not a place of forgetting. Because if these things were true, then why strive? Why pay the penalties that goes with soul winning? Do you realize that the price of soul winning is higher than most human flesh would ever be willing to pay? And every soul that you reach down and you take right out of the fires, the price is high. But the truth and the reality of the living God, and in knowing that the things that He has prepared for us, we know that we're only going to be here for a very short space of time. That in reality, this is only a dressing room to prepare us for the great beyond. Man's days are few and full of sorrow, the Lord tells us, but prepare ourselves for eternity. For when suddenly we realize that the veil is closing between here and the other side, and to know that all is well with my soul and God, what a terrible thing it would be to spend our lives here, then suddenly realize that it was all over, that it was finished, and knowing that we had chosen to spend eternity in hell. When you hear all this gospel today, so much of it, the God is love message. God loves us, He says, who keep His commandments. He says, I love them who keep my commandments. Oh, it isn't an easy thing to do. It's a hard thing to do. Believe me, I wouldn't even stand before people and say that it's the easiest life in the world, because it isn't that at all. But the thing of it is this, that you see the people of the world without God. You see them struggling against their problems and struggling against all the things that they're surrounded with, and they have no God. What a glorious thing it is to know, I have fellowship with a living God. Because He sent His only begotten Son to die in my place. Do you know that Jesus looked out into eternity 2,000 years ago, and He saw every one of our faces there, each and every one of us, me and you. That's why He is a personal Savior. And He knew that unless He went on to Calvary, that He paid the debt for me and you, that there was no chance for us. So He walked obediently as a lamb to the slaughter, laid down His life, shed His blood, a living sacrifice that you and I might be saved. And this is where the big problem comes in, because if there is anything in this world that antagonizes that same demon that appeared in the Garden of Eden, is that same old-fashioned gospel story. If there is anything in the world that can rile up every little imp in the pits, that's the one that sets them off, is that glorious old gospel message, the truth of the Word of the living God. Jesus said that He was the Word. And He said the Word was made flesh and that it dwelt among all men. So how can we change one precept or one statute of the Word of God? As it is written, so shall it be fulfilled. There isn't any way in this world that the tribulations and the persecutions of the Christians could stop today. Because the Bible says so. It says that all shall be fulfilled, that not one jot or one tittle shall be changed until he makes his appearance. If this makes men and women zombies to believe this old gospel story, then praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for becoming a zombie for the cause of Jesus Christ. It's the most glorious life to be led by the Spirit of the living God. To know that even though we walk through dark waters, even the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, the psalmist said, for thou art with me. This is the glory of knowing a living God. And how often you see people, when they come face to face suddenly with some tribulation in their life, with some catastrophe that man can no longer cope with, and they have no God. The despair. But you see the old born-again Christian that will say, I know that my Redeemer liveth, because there is a witness in my soul and my spirit that tells me beyond any shadow of doubt that that same God that was in the Garden of Eden, that same God that appeared to Adam and Eve, that same God has prepared a place of paradise for me. I believe the old gospel story. There isn't anything in this world that is ever going to make any changes with it. And I know that whatever we do on this side of eternity, surely we shall stand face to face with the living God one of these days, and we shall give account unto Him for what we have done. What a tragedy to have taken on something that is a complete untruth that does not exist. Because any gospel without judgment, any gospel without condemnation, that is not the gospel. It's a complete untruth. It's the same trick that was played on Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. The same thing that is being told to men and women in the 20th century who consider themselves to be highly intelligent, and yet they trip up on the same old story. The same deceitfulness that came to these two uneducated people, people who certainly were not worldly people, but people who knew the voice of God. They knew God, but because of the determination of their own desires and of wanting to hear, like the Bible says, having itchy ears and wanting to hear something besides keep my commandments, they reached out and they took hold upon that was told to them, thou shalt not surely die. But God says the soul that sins shall surely die. And I don't know how anyone could not believe that, because we see even in the law of this earth, in the law of man, we see the retribution for breaking the laws, that there is a payment, a full payment for it. And yet we feel that a holy God, a truthful God, a just God, would allow us to pass from this life on in to the heaven of heavenlies, that He has laid down His life to prepare if we trample the blood of Jesus Christ under our feet. Because the Bible says that when we do these things, that we crucify Him afresh and put Him to open shame before a lost and dying world. What people accuse us of is one thing. What people might think or what they might say is one thing. But when we know beyond any shadow of doubt, all is well between me and my God. When we lie down at night and put our head on our pillow, and suddenly we're in that in-between of sleep and being awake, and there's that feeling of complete peace in God. If Jesus would come tonight, I'm ready to meet Him. If the Lord would call me home tonight, I'm ready to be received into the heaven of heavenlies. These are the things. So all the other things, I think about that gospel song, Put Your Eyes Upon Jesus. And when we put our eyes upon Him, how the cares of this old world just fade away when we see the glory of the living God. I see the glory of the living God in so many things around me. I see the glory of the living God in the people who have come to know Him, who are joined together with Him by the same Spirit that resurrected Jesus Christ our Lord from the dead and ascended Him into the heavens. There's a glorious look about a person. There's a shine, a Shekinah glory about any person who knows the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and walk uprightly before Him, because they have that peace that the Bible says passeth all human understanding. Man cannot understand that. Even though they have the same trials, the same tribulations, the same sicknesses, the same problems that the people of the world would have, but yet the answers are all there in the pages of that old Bible. And for men and women today who claim to be educated and say that they can't understand the Scriptures, shame on you. Shame on you. Is this so hard to understand? No adulterer shall enter the kingdom of heaven. All adulterers shall have their part in the lake of fire that's called hellfire and brimstone. Now we talk so much about the love of God. Jesus talks more about hell than He does about heaven. And to take away all judgment from the Word of God, why allow someone to put you on a trip? Tell me the truth. Tell me the truth and let me go from there. I believe it when I open the pages of His Word. It's so real. It feeds right into the very heart and right into the soul, because there's truth. There's such truth in such a negative world. Everything is your opinion. Everything is His opinion. He has a right to His opinion. She has a right to her opinion. And all these opinions really have absolutely no meaning. The one thing that stands out in eternity is this: it was appointed unto man to die, and after death, the judgment. What a terrible thing it would be to stand at the judgment bar of God and suddenly realize that we are being weighed in the balances and found wanting. What I'm saying to you is this: why take that chance? It's so easy. It is so easy. God made a place for you at the foot of the old rugged cross. There's a place for you. All you have to do is humble yourself, ask Jesus to come into your heart. There's room at the cross for you.
There's a shelter in which we can hide, and it's grace. So free, it's sufficient.